Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm is where we're going to find ourselves again this morning. We're walking through Psalm 22, 23, and 24, and we saw in 22 Jesus, the suffering Savior, who will become and is, did become, the triumphant King. And now we're in 23 and learning about Him as our Shepherd. I'm really loving the fact that we're slowing down and really walking through this carefully, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. And a quick reminder, whose word is it? Do you guys need that reminder? Because I do. You just wake up in the morning, open up your Bible and read it, but it's not some other book. This is the very Word of God, and it's not something we're just kind of glazing over. We want to hear from God today. And so we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to speak to us through His Word this morning. And I pray that you'll fight, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we want to fight. We want to work. We want to dig and hear from God today. So open up your hearts and minds. I'm going to ask Brother Nelson, if you would, to lead us in prayer. Amen. While you're still standing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please be seated. I told you last week and probably the week before, Psalm 23 I used to always associate with funerals, because that's the only time I ever heard it. When I was growing up, I just kind of thought it was kind of a sad psalm, because the only time I thought about Psalm 23 is like my grandpa's funeral or something. And so it was very kind of depressing. But as I became saved and started reading the Bible and on my own and learning, this is not a depressing psalm at all. This is a psalm filled with hope, which is the whole reason that I heard it at a funeral. So it was a sad time and I associated it with sad things, but it's not sad at all. This is about the victory that God gives us. It's about the fact that not only do I have a home in heaven one day because of Jesus, but He's my shepherd today, and He's leading me today. And so we saw the possession. The Lord is my shepherd. We saw His provision. I shall not want. He provides for us and everything that we need. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still water. He restores my soul. And by the way, He does that every day. His mercies are new every morning. We're renewed in our mind day by day. Though the outer man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So He's restoring our life. He's restoring our hearts and our minds day after day after day after day. And so He provides for us. And then we started talking last time about His protection. And we talked about this. He leadeth me. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. But today we're going to focus in on this phrase, fear no evil. Fear no evil. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been afraid? Some of you are like, I'm afraid right now. I have no idea how long you're going to preach, and I'm really scared about that. There are a lot of things that people are afraid of. You might think about things, and you start thinking about I ask people sometimes what they're afraid of. A lot of people are afraid of spiders. Anybody here afraid of spiders? Can I just raise your hand if you're afraid of spiders? Okay. Snakes. How many of you guys are afraid of snakes? Brother Dean, I'll make sure he tells the truth today. If you have ever seen Dean and a snake in the same proximity, you'll see Dean run faster than you knew he could run. He hates snakes. How many of you guys are afraid of heights? Can I see those people? I read about this. Okay, we'll find out if this is true. How many of you are afraid of public speaking? Like you're afraid to get up and talk in front of a crowd. Okay, they tell me that more people are afraid of public speaking than they are of dying. So either that's wrong, or you guys are not a good representation, because most of you are like. But a lot of people would rather die than speak in public. So we have a lot of fears. I'm not really afraid of heights. Most of you guys know I have my pilot's license. I actually kind of like heights. It's not that I don't get afraid. There's kind of a thrill to it, but I love it. And I remember flying a lot. And when I first started flying, taking flying lessons, I would look out the plane. I would think, this is the thought in my head, it would be so cool to jump out. Now, you guys think that's crazy, but I thought, man. So I got to go skydiving a few years ago, and I was so excited to get to go do that. And we started flying up, and I started getting this feeling right here. You guys know what I'm talking about? And the higher we went and the closer it got, I was like, that feels weird. And then they popped the door open, and the guy gave me all the instructions. Like, when the door opens, these guys are going out first. You're going to scoot up to the front. You're going to go here. I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to roll out. And all of that just kind of went out the window. The door opened. The other guys went out, and he's like, okay, go, go, go. And so my mind was having a hard time processing this, right? Like, so there was fear there. But I had to be honest with you, it was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. It was so awesome. Was there fear involved? Yes, but there was that. Now, a lot of people are scared of a lot of things. And we can get really serious with it. I'm afraid of losing family members. I preached a funeral yesterday for a lady I didn't really know. But my heart hurts for her family, the people who loved her, knew her, right? Brother Ben's got a funeral coming up. It's going to be really hard for him. And there's a fear in losing people that we love. There's a fear in losing our health. I think most of us have a fear of that. What if I can't walk anymore? What if I can't see anymore? What if I can't hear anymore? Like, we have those fears. So we're riddled with fear in this world. But I want to tell you, God says, fear no evil. Oh, we want to make sure we get this balance, and I want to get this before I forget later. I'm getting to that age, Brother Tom. I forget things. We should fear God. Fear God. We want to fear God, and you say, well, why would I fear him? He's my heavenly Father, and he loves me, and he saved me. He's also God. He is an awesome God, a powerful God. The Bible uses the word terrible. We don't use that word the same way, but in other words, God can be terrifying. And you don't want to fall into the hands of an angry God. So we fear him, we respect him, we reverence him, we stand in awe of him. We fear him in the sense that we respect his awesome power. Okay. Now, if you grew up with loving parents, you can understand this, because you love your parents, you respect your parents, but you also have fear of your parents. You don't want to disappoint them. You don't want to make them angry, right? So we have an understanding that there is a fear we should have, but we should fear no evil. Just walk through it with me here. You can follow him because he's leading you in paths of righteousness, and you can follow him without fear. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we see this. First of all, today, the path may be dark. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This life is going to have its valleys. There's going to be dark days in this world, but death is nothing but a shadow for those who are in Christ. Listen to what Spurgeon said. It is not the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death. For death in its substance has been removed, and only the shadow of it remains. Nobody is afraid of a shadow. A shadow cannot stop a man's pathway even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. If you're in Christ, it's not the valley of death, it's the valley of the shadow of death. I'll never forget Brother Steve Spires. Some of you guys know him. He was preaching. I can't remember if this was my Uncle Bill's funeral or my grandma's. It all runs together. I told you I'm at that age. We were standing outside, and he's preaching, and he reads Psalm 23, and he's saying this very thing. He said, the shadow of death can't hurt you any more than the shadow of a dog can bite you. And at exactly the right time, a dog ran through right through the middle of the funeral. I mean, it was just right on time. It's extra funny because if you didn't know, talking about fears, Dean's scared of snakes, but Steve Spires is terrified of dogs. And so this dog comes running through right just on cue. I don't know if the Lord was in that or somebody else was behind it, but I'm just saying it was great. Listen, the shadow of a sword can't cut you. The shadow of a dog can't bite you. And the shadow of death can't stop you. It may be we may be going through a valley, and it may be covered with the shadow of death, but it can't stop you. You can keep following Jesus. And maybe that's weird to you, but understand, God's going to lead you on mountaintops and through valleys. There's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times. And we are going to be surrounded by death in this world because the world is being decimated by sin and death. But friends, we have the answer. You know what we carry with us into that valley? We carry the light of the gospel. Nelson mentioned John 1 in his prayer. We carry the true light. Jesus is with us and in us, and we take his light as we go through the valley. So we're going to go through darkness. The path may be dark, but his presence is near. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is a reality that you have to face. And I don't want to belabor the point, but I need you to get this today, especially young people. That's anybody younger than me. Listen to me. Death is a reality that you need to come to grips with in your life. I see a generation coming behind me, a couple of generations coming behind me now, that don't want to face the reality of death. They want to pretend like it's not real. They don't want to deal with the reality of it. They don't want to mourn. They don't want to grieve. I'm going to tell you, it's incredibly unhealthy not to face the reality of it. Okay? For a couple of reasons. Death is coming for all of us. Our days are numbered. You're not going to live in this life forever, because one of two things is going to happen for you, Christian. Either Jesus is going to come again, or you're going to pass away, your body is going to die, and your spirit's going to go be with Jesus. That's true for all of us, and it's true for everyone you know. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to be depressing today. It's just that when we're walking through this valley of the shadow of death, you need to understand that every person has an appointment, and none of us know when that time is. So it ought to motivate us to love the way that we ought to love. Amen. I ought to love people enough to tell them that they're going to die one day, and if they die without Jesus, they'll spend eternity separated from him in the lake of fire. I'm going to warn our lost family and friends and anybody we meet that death is coming, and so they must trust in Jesus. But I also want it to motivate me for people who are saved. I need to love as much as I can love. I need to live with the love of Christ every day, because I don't know when's going to be the last time I talk to somebody. Are you thoroughly depressed now? You're welcome. No, we want to soak it up. We want to enjoy the blessings that God's given us. We want to love well, because one day, we're all going to face that appointment. God's going to call our number. And you can pretend like it's not going to happen. It's not going to do you any good. You've got to face the reality. I've walked through this valley of the shadow of death for 45 years. I was saved when I was 14. And I have seen people die from every age you can imagine. Friends who were my age, 14, 15, 16, in college, guys that were 18, 19, 20. I'm just telling you, every stage of my life, I've watched people I know die. I've preached funerals for babies who were stillborn, and I've preached funerals for people who were 80 or 90, and everything in between. And I'm just telling you, we are in the shadow of death. But I've got good news for you. This death is temporary. It's just a shadow for those who are in Christ. Amen. The Bible talks about Christians, when we die, he just calls it sleep, right? Because it's not permanent. It's just a moment. So fear no evil. The path may be dark, but his presence is near. I will fear no evil. Just look at the words, I will. Do you see the confidence? that the psalmist has? I will. It's personal confidence, but it's not in himself, it's in the Lord. Because his rod and staff comfort him, he says, I will fear no evil. It's a determination. There's a confidence there in God. And he is, it's not like he's psyching himself up. It's just that he's stating facts with confidence, not in himself, but in God. I'm not going to fear evil. I will not fear evil. And I want to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, you can make up your mind today. I'm not going to fear evil. I'm going to remember that God is with me. I'm going to remember that he's my shepherd and I'm following him. And I will not fear. I will. And then he says, no evil, not any. Now, I want to share with you part of Strong's definition, if you're not familiar with Strong's. Strong's concordance, he went through and he defined every word in the Hebrew and every word in the Greek, and he gives us definitions of those words and how they're translated. And let me give you a few of what he says for this word evil. The word evil is defined as adversity, affliction, bad, calamity, distress, evil as in an evil man or evil thing, grief, harm, hurt, mischief, misery, sorrow, trouble, wickedness, wretchedness, or wrong. So he has a lengthy list of what this idea of evil is, and here's what it is. Anything that's bad that can happen to you inside or out is evil. It's just the idea of what's bad. Any kind of mischief, any kind of hurt, any kind of sorrow, any kind of trouble or wickedness or any kind of wrong. And David's saying, I will fear no bad thing that's going to happen to me because God's with me. Does that make sense? Okay. Now let's be honest this morning. We can be honest with each other, right? Are you ever afraid of bad things happening? Be honest. Afraid of bad things. I'm afraid something bad's going to happen to me. I'm more afraid something bad's going to happen to my kids. Right? We are concerned. We're afraid of bad things happening. And David says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God's with me. Okay? What David did was he reminded himself that anything that bad happens in his life has to go through the shepherd to get to him. God forbid something bad happen to you or somebody in your family, but I promise you this, if you're in Christ, it can't touch you unless God allows it to. Right? Does he love you? Is he for you? Can he see the end? And everything he does is for your good and for his glory, even when you can't see it. I will fear no evil. The Bible admonishes us a lot. Listen to a few of these verses from the New Testament. I'm going to run through them quickly, so they probably won't have time to get them on the screen. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear men, fear God. Matthew 10:31, fear ye not, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. Luke 5:10, so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Luke 12:7, Jesus says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. John 12:15, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh. Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That spirit of fear that you have, it's not from God. So if it's not from God, where does it come from? It's got to be the adversary. It's the world, the flesh, the devil. It's not of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of power. He's given us the spirit of love. He's given us the spirit of a sound, sober, serious mind. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I told you before about churches in other places where the church has to be underground, places like China or Iran, places like that. And when I hear stories of the Christians there, they don't want us to pray that God will deliver them from the trouble. They want God to give them grace to endure the trouble. Isn't that awesome? Because I'm going to tell you right now, when trouble comes to me, I'm like, God, get me out of this. God, deliver me from this. Lord, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have pain. I don't want to go through this. But they're in the middle of it, in that trial and affliction and terror, when men could come in, kick the door in, and throw them in jail or kill them on the spot, and they say, God, don't take us out of this, but give us the grace to keep on for you. Why? Because they love God, and they love the people who hate them. That's Christ in them, by the way. Okay? So we don't fear what man will do unto me, because the Lord is our helper. Let me give you one more. Revelation 1:17. And I challenged Dave, and he was on it, wasn't he? When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. The Lord Jesus puts his hand on you and says, don't be afraid. Do you know why all through the New Testament Jesus told his disciples, don't be afraid, fear not? Do you know why it continues on through the epistles and into Revelation? Because we're afraid. Because it's in our nature to be afraid. And the Lord reminds us over and over and over again, don't be afraid. Okay. Let me ask you this. If you're in Christ, what happens to you the moment you die? You're going to be present with the Lord. You're going to heaven. In other words, when I close my eyes in death, when I breathe my last, my spirit's going to go to be with Jesus, and I will see my Savior face to face. So what do I have to be afraid of? No, that changes everything. Now, like the Apostle Paul, I can say to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. For thou art with me. Psalm 16:11 teaches us that in his presence is fullness of joy. And Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that his joy is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I want you to notice this in our text. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Did you notice in the first couple of verses, he says, he maketh me to lie down. He restoreth my soul. So when he's singing this song, he's telling us about the Lord. But then in the middle of the song, he switches it, and now he's singing to the Lord. He says, he restores my soul. Then he says, thou art with me. And so it becomes very personal. And I think there's something to this. In suffering, theology gets real. What we know about God, the truth we know about God, moves from something I know about him to something I experience with him. You guys with me? In other words, you know some things about God, but when you're in the middle of pain and sorrow and something that drives you to your face to cry out to God, you're not just knowing some things about him, now you are with him. It brings communion with God. The valley of the shadow of death drives him to this closeness to God. Our doctrine becomes dependence. His presence is with us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It's a promise he gave to his people all the way back in Deuteronomy, and it's a promise we have today, Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you see how this lack of fear, the thing that takes our fear away, is the presence of God. Is he with you? Is he ever going to leave you? Will he ever forsake you? All right. You guys still with me? If you get a, listen, I know you guys don't all talk. Not everybody amens. Like Brother Steve or Brother Terry or Nelson. Not everybody can like say words out loud during the sermon. I know it. It's because your mama did it. She taught you, right? You made a sound during church and she'd slap you upside the back of the head. Or get those claws in that thigh. I know. But it's okay to respond sometimes. And I need you to get this. Will he ever leave you? Ever? What if you mess up? What if you turn around from following him and you go the other way? Will he ever forsake you? You get that, right? The idea of forsaking? The picture of that is you're on a battlefield. You're fighting shoulder to shoulder with other soldiers, and you're in the middle of the fray, like you're on the front lines, you're in the middle of the enemy, and you turn around and look for your brothers, and you look, and the other soldiers are running away. They've forsaken you. They left you there by yourself. Is the Lord ever going to do that to you? So don't be afraid. He's with you. He's never going to forsake you. His presence is with you. How do you know? Well, Jesus said that the Spirit of God was going to come and be in you. And the moment you were born again, the Spirit of God took up residence inside of you, and His Spirit is with you for all eternity. You couldn't get away from Him if you tried. But nobody who has Christ would try to get away from Him. Right? Hopefully not. Let me ask you this. Do you ever feel like God's not with you? No? I see some yeses, see some noes. Do you ever feel like he's not as close as he was? I got news for you. If you don't feel close to God, it's not his fault. There's a couple of truths that you need to know. One, feelings are liars. And two, you're not going to feel close to God if you allow sin into your heart and mind and it stays there unconfessed and unrepented of. You're not going to experience the presence of God like you can when you repent. And this is awesome because if you confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that barrier that causes you to not feel close to God will be taken away instantaneously and you will be brought into the full presence of God. You'll feel His presence. Don't you want to experience that all the time? I don't like that feeling of being away from God. Okay? There are a lot of married couples in the room today. God bless you. Marriage is a good thing. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing. And you ought to pray for young couples. Got a couple getting married here in a couple of weeks. Unless he changes his mind. I tried to talk him out of it, but hasn't worked yet. These young couples are going to experience this, but some of you guys have been married for more than 5 minutes. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time when maybe you had a little conflict with your spouse and you weren't really as close to them? Some of you guys are like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. We're going to have an altar call later. You can repent for lying. I'm going to tell you this. Melissa and I have been married for 21 years, I think, and there have been times in our marriage where we had some conflict and I didn't feel as close to her, and I hate that feeling. When we're at odds, it drives me crazy. Like, I want to get that fixed because I want to have that closeness with my wife that God wants us to have. Well, that relationship, that dynamic happens in every relationship. It can happen with your siblings, parents and children, friends, people in the church. But it's no more important. It's nowhere is it as important as your relationship with God. Don't let anything come between you and Him. And it doesn't have to. You know, sometimes, fellas, when you mess up and you go and you apologize, because you should learn the words, honey, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. You know, there's an off chance that she might not. But I can tell you this, when you go to God and you say, God, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, you can be sure He always will. Amen. Thou art with me. In His presence is fullness of joy. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And notice this, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff of the shepherd were used for a couple of things. The rod was used for protection and correction, okay? This was a weapon to defend against predators or enemies. So he would have the rod, and if a wolf came, he would use the rod to beat back the wolf. If a enemy came, a thief came to steal, he would fight with that rod to defend his sheep. So the rod was for protection. It was also for correction. If a sheep gets getting out of line, he would use that to get the sheep back in line. Okay? And then we have the staff. The staff is a staff of direction and of redemption. You guys have seen the shepherd's staff with the crook on the end? You seen those? So the crook on the end was used for a lot of different things. One thing is sheep might often fall into a ditch, and he would use the crook to hook the sheep and pull it out of the ditch. It might get stuck in the mud, and he would use it to pull it out of the mire. And sheep are prone to wander. They're prone to get in bad places, and the staff was used to redeem them, to rescue them. And aren't you thankful that our shepherd is there to rescue us and to redeem us? But it's also for direction. That staff would be used to guide the sheep, to direct the sheep, to help them to go in the right way. Whether he is correcting us, chastising us, or whether he is directing us and guiding us, you should take comfort in the fact that you have a shepherd who loves you. And he cares about the path that you take. He cares about your steps every day. You know, when kids have parents that love them, sometimes they feel oppressed. Like, my parents are always so strict, and they're trying to ruin my life. If your parents love you and they're strict, it's not because they're trying to ruin your life, it's because they're trying to save your life. Because young people do dumb things sometimes. Okay? So do old people, but young people we're talking about right now. So your parents are trying to help you to stay on the right path because they love you. And our Heavenly Father loves us more than we can comprehend. He's not trying to be a cosmic killjoy and destroy your fun. He's not trying to ruin your life. He is trying to save your life. He's trying to redeem your life, not just eternally, but daily, so that you can walk with Him. He'll lead you in paths of righteousness. And you can rejoice because you have a Heavenly Father who will walk with you and lead you and guide you. And you don't have to fear. We live in a world that's filled with fear. Hebrews said that Jesus came to deliver those who all their lifetime were in the fear of death. You don't have to be afraid of dying. And you don't have to be afraid of living for Jesus either. We're going to stand together. Our musicians, if you'll come, please. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If you're afraid this morning, there's a reason for that. So I want you to think about it as we get ready to sing this song. If you'll examine your heart and mind, am I afraid? And if I'm afraid, what am I afraid of? And I just want you to examine your heart today, because some of you in the room might be afraid of dying. And if you're afraid of death, that spirit can't come from God. It's got to come from someplace else. And I'll tell you this, if you're in Christ, you have no reason to fear death. Amen. That just is that's your transition. That's your step into eternity with God. But if you're afraid of dying today, maybe you need to examine your heart. You need to be sure that you're born again. Now, I'm not saying that there's not times we're going to be afraid of how we might die or whatever. I'm just saying that you should not fear death if you're a child of God. Maybe you're afraid of other things. I will say this. I think that our lack of the existence of fear in our life comes from a lack of two things, and it's faith and love, which, by the way, are both gifts of the Spirit. I love Him because He first loved me, and if I love Him, perfect love casts out fear. And if I'm trusting in Him, in His presence, I don't have to be afraid. But if you are struggling with fear today, I want to encourage you to bring it to God. Come and pray. Cry out to Him. Pray right where you're standing. But God's the one who can take away our fears, because He's the one who died for us and rose again, and He's the one who's leading us today. Our Heavenly Father, I pray as we have this time at the close of our service to respond, I pray that anyone here or watching online who's never been born again, Today they are living in the fear of death, that you would deliver them from that through faith in Jesus. I pray that they would turn away from their sin and unbelief. I pray that they would trust in Jesus with all their heart, call on your name and be saved today. Give them life, assurance, and take away that fear. And I pray for anyone else struggling with fear and anxiety today, that you would help us, Lord. We need you. And I pray that you'll help and you'll bless. Your will would be done in every life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.